Ain't God good? All the time he is. All the time. You know, everybody talks about this time change, and I can't figure it out myself. I'm a morning person, so I like, you know, morning. I like evening, too, don't get me wrong. But anymore with the way life is, just leave stuff alone, you know? Pick one and stay with it. Gee whiz. Well, again, good morning. It's good to have everybody here. Lesson 7. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the blessings you truly bestow upon us. Lord, I just pray this morning that those in our midst that needs a touch, Lord, just touch us. Father, those who aren't here and want to be, Lord, touch them also. And Father, for those who just outside in the world that are lost, Lord, touch them also. Draw them closer to you. Father, again, I just pray that you'll be with this service. Lord, you already have been here, and you're here to stay, and we know that, and we just feel your presence. Lord, just fill us all with joy and happiness this morning as we come to your house with your people. Father, again, just be with the lessons. Lord, be with each and every person that has a part in today's service. And Lord, especially be with the pastor. Lord, we just thank you so much for each and every one. And we ask that you just guide us and direct us. Amen. Jesus attracted bitter opposition from the Jewish religious leaders by healing a man on the Sabbath. They determined to kill him because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus replied to their criticism with a series of bold, even audacious claims of authority. He said he should be honored as God is honored, that he would judge people's destinies at the final judgment, and that he could grant eternal life. No sane human being could speak in such a way unless he was God incarnate. A little bit of background. Depending on which hollow you were from back home in West Virginia, it was either Bethesda or Bethsaida. So however you want to say it, I don't think there is a wrong, but you get close to Maryland, it's definitely, you better be right. I'll leave that open for you all to figure out. Yep. But anyway, there was a cripple beside the pool. And Jesus healed him. You know, the thing about our Lord, it doesn't matter. Those who are in need, those who need a touch, it doesn't matter what day it is. And he gave this man back his limbs. And he walked. And the religious leaders of the time determined that that was just totally wrong. And again, the Lord was setting them straight. And of course, out of this, they didn't believe him. They didn't believe who he said he was. Well, back in Deuteronomy, now here's how the world has changed, okay? Today, an anonymous person can make a claim with no sound foundation at all, and people believe it. The law says, back in Deuteronomy 19:15, I should have had my brother back there read this. One witness is not enough to convict anyone accused of any crime or offense they may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. That's how our world has changed. Today, anybody that wants to make a claim and remain anonymous, there is no proof. It's just, I don't like you, and I'm going to do this to you. That's the world. So the law was set up so that there couldn't be this anonymous false stuff. And you had to have proof. Whenever you said something, there had to be proof. And here's our Lord, after most of the religious community was trying to kill him. And he's trying to tell them, listen, I am the Lord. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. I have been sent by God the Father. And if you don't believe me, look at Scripture, because the Scripture is truly full from the beginning to the end. That scarlet thread of redemption goes all the way through. Now, with that being said, let's look at question number one. Throughout this passage, where do you see Jesus claiming the right to be honored? I'm sorry. I told you, I don't know what in the world. Let's read the Scripture this morning. Forgive me, Lord. My goodness. John 5, thank you, Rose. John 5, 31 through 47. I'm going to go back to verse 30. I'm going to start reading at verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who hath sent me. Starting now with verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bore witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man. But these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, who hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, and ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in the Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, who receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye receive not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? So again, now number one, throughout the passage, where do you see Jesus claiming the right to be honored? Pretty much the whole Scripture, huh? That whole verse? You know, we really see the first time, you know, we're talking here about fourfold. Two or three witnesses were needed to prove anything to be true. Jesus went above and beyond. He got twice the amount of witnesses right here in Scripture and telling people, and it's called the fourfold, is what this is called. And the first line of evidence is John the Baptist. And you can see that in John 33. The second line of evidence, the works that Jesus performed. And you can see that in John 5:36. The third line of evidence of the fourfold witnesses is the witness of God the Father. And you can see that in John 5:37. And the fourth line of evidence is the Old Testament Scriptures. And that's where we close out, 45 and 47, where those who were just adhering to Moses and the Old Testament, the law. And Jesus said, hey, look, let's set the record straight once and for all. If you would have believed, truly believed Moses, then you would believe me, because Moses talked about me in the Old Testament. So, like I said, he went above and beyond. He had four witnesses. And how do you dispute that line of witnesses? You know, back in, after the resurrection, how would you like to be a lawyer and have this type of testimony, you know, not only from God the Father, but from Jesus himself? But in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, and this was after he rose from the dead. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. How can anybody in this world say that Jesus Christ is not alive and he is not the Savior of the world? I mean, it's beyond comprehension for me. I can't comprehend it. It's just amazing. Scripture's full of him. And even after he was crucified and buried on the third day, he rose again. And here's 500 people. Now, the little town that I'm from had about 800 people in it. And to think that whole community saw Jesus alive. I mean, can you imagine how two or three people can take off and run with something? Can you imagine 500 people proclaiming and knowing that they saw Jesus? It's just unfathomable to me to see how even the religious people of the day who studied the scriptures couldn't see Jesus and believe he was exactly who he said he was. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, the whole Sadducees, the whole group was looking for the Messiah. And it wasn't so much for what Jesus was coming to do to save the world. They were looking to be saved from the Roman heavy hand. That's they wanted a warrior. Little did they know just how big of a change Jesus was going to make to all. You know, the things that Jesus was doing over the last couple of weeks, we've seen the miracles that Jesus performed. We talked about them. You know, and the thing, just like you said, was word was getting out. It was spreading. And things would never be the same. You know, Jesus truly turned the world upside down. And the world is truly upside down today. They wanted him dead. A couple reasons. One was he's about to take away their way of life. You know, the Bible tells us many times in many places that they sought the approval, and we'll get into this question here in a minute, but they sought the approval of man. They wanted to stand, they wanted to pray, they wanted to be the center focus of all things. Yet they were hoping and praying for the Messiah. Here's the Messiah standing in front of them, and they didn't want to accept it. You know, it's blasphemy is what it is. That's what they called. It's how dare you consider yourself equal with God the Father. And he was truly sent. And that's what he was trying to get across. Look, I was sent not to do the things I want to do, but to do the will of God the Father who sent me. And they just didn't want to. And the Pharisees saw it. They were looking. And that's fast forward to how the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, I'm going down a rabbit hole. Anytime you hear the term a religious leader, it just almost makes you want to cringe, you know? You're a follower of Jesus Christ, end, period, you know? And they wanted their life to remain the same. And Jesus was here to turn the world upside down. That's what he was going to do. And he was doing it because, just like Sister Carol said, you know, word was spreading like wildfire. I mean, people wanted to be healed. They wanted to hear his words. Nobody ever spoke the true words of God the way Jesus Christ was speaking them. Question two, throughout this passage, and this kind of goes right along to, I think, one and two. Throughout this passage, where do you see Jesus deferring to his Father as the one who should be honored? I think we saw that in verse 36. I mean, there it is. It's Verse 3. Who and what testified to Jesus' identity? Again, the four things, the fourfold. You know, we see that John the Baptist, who was there for a season, and people flocked to him, but he was, can you imagine how humble John was? You know, the one that's coming is way greater than I am. And I'm not even worthy to unbuckle his sandal. And people were flocking to him. You know, the Pharisees loved this attention. And here, the whole Sanhedrin, for that matter, but here's John the Baptist, who had a following. People were flocking to him. And he humbled himself and says, no, I'm just paving the way. I'm making straight the way for the one who is to come, who is greater than me, and that's Jesus Christ himself. Question 4. Why did Jesus' hearers fail to understand and acknowledge who he was? How about this to get the ball rolling? These questions were a little tougher. I mean, they were looking in all the wrong places. They were looking and searching for things, and here was the Messiah right in front, doing the miracles, doing the things that God the Father had sent him to do. And they were focused in the wrong places. They wanted this heavy-handed Roman authority off their necks. And that's not why God came, Jesus came. He came to be with the ones who needed a Savior, who needed hope, not on worldly promises and worldly actions. He was sent by God the Father in the end to make all things the way it was supposed to be. You ever run up against somebody that you were witnessing to that had this attitude? You've got the Word of God. You're showing people the Word of God. And they have this attitude of, don't bore me with the facts. I've already made up my mind. God help those people. You know, that's the ones that my heart truly hurt for. I've used this term too, and it truly warmed my heart. When Pastor Cox, when his message was press on. You know, a lot of us in this room has got more runway in behind us than we've got in front of us. But press on. Press on for the prize that awaits us. And that is the promise of God eternal, that we too, those who have been born again, that claim the name of Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, this life that we have right here is like a vapor. Now back home, and just about the springtime here, you can get an idea. Take the lid off of a gas can, and you'll see the vapor in the sunlight just for a moment, and it dissipates. That's the way this life is. We've got all of eternity ahead of us. Stay fast. Hold fast. Keep moving. Tell people about Jesus. Well, I can't really do the things that I used to do. One of the most important things we can do is pray. Even now, you know, when you're sick, when you're hurting, you can pray. You can pray. Pray for others. Even in Scripture, it talks about the son of Joseph, the carpenter. You know, and I think as his earthly ministry progressed, I mean, this is the heart of it. This right now, we're marching towards the cross. So this is it. This is where the rubber's meeting the road. And I think all the way through, even when he was a young child, when he was talking in a synagogue, you know, teaching. Nobody had ever taught the way he taught. You know, and it probably was mass confusion at first, but then I think separate the sheep from the goats. Yeah, absolutely. And it's still 2024, and it's still happening today. I mean, it's truly upon us. We as human beings are so short-sighted. We're so much in a hurry. And even the conveniences of today have made us even more so. We're in a hurry. We want it now. We want it now. Well, I'd like to have a pizza. Okay, hit the microwave. Boom, you got pizza, hot, steamy pizza. You know, I mean, it's crazy. And to think that Christ came into this and was rejected. A perfect Lamb of God. And they were seeking his life to put him on the cross. And they didn't even understand the cross. They didn't understand that. They just wanted this guy out of the way. Because he was truly changing the way the religious leaders were looked upon and their whole way of life. But they were blind. You know, Jesus used a term that is harsh, I think. He called them hypocrites. You know, you teach this, you say this, you do this, but yet you don't want to hear it. You know. Where are we at? Question 5. Jesus said, "Not that I accept human testimony, and I do not accept glory from human beings." You can see that in verse 34 and 41. Why could he take such an attitude toward human praise? It's what the world craved and still does today. They want human praise. But the thing about human praise, it's short-lived. You can have 10 attaboys and one uh-oh wipes it all out. Human praise, it means nothing. But the eternal praise of God, everlasting. Question 6, what are the dangers of receiving praise from people, even if it is deserved? Self. Anything that self touches, self is going to mess up. I mean, it just is. And if you don't believe that, just give it time, especially you young folks. You know, you got your whole world in front of you. Take it from an old boy that skinned his knees and his elbows and put your trust in Christ. Keep him at the head of the pyramid, and everything else will fall into place. Even to us not so young people anymore. You got to have that sense of authority. You got to have Jesus Christ as a head, period. There is no buts, there is no wiggle room. He has to be first and foremost, Lord, Lord. And trust him. Trust him. When you go to prayer, pray that you already are going to receive what you're praying for. Now, I'm not talking about a new red Corvette, but I'm talking about peace and knowledge and wisdom and love. Without love, we talked about this yesterday in the men's prayer break. Without love, you've got absolutely nothing. It all begins with love. It's also a false sense of security. Like Bruce said, you start believing that you really are greater than great. Question 7. We constantly see people who come in their own name, as in verse 43, that is, with the aim of glorifying themselves. Their ranks include many entertainers, politicians, business people, athletes, even Christian ministers. Why do you think these self-promoting people achieve so much popularity? Absolutely. Not only today. Look at all the tools we have. We've got anything that you want to research. At the touch of your finger, you can get it. Think back to when Jesus was on the earth doing his earthly ministry. The majority of people, and I'm talking the majority, probably 80-90%, I don't know the number, some of you may, couldn't even read. They couldn't read or write. But yet they had enough sense, some of them, to trust Jesus Christ. You know, the thing about Scripture is, any time that you're in an area where Scripture is being talked about or read, and Jesus Christ is not the focus, you ought to get up and walk out. Because without Christ, nothing is possible. Because God the Father gave all authority to Jesus Christ. Now, do I still thank my Father? You better believe it. Because he's the one that sent his only begotten Son so that I might live. eternal. So absolutely, God is foremost. There's the Godhead. I believe it with all my heart. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But if you're in a place where Christ is not the main focus of attention, because he tells us, the only way to God the Father is through him. There is no other way. So Christ has to be that main focus. It has to be that way. Pastor always tells us, when you're troubled, when you're hurting, when you're unsure, run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Let me give you this verse. Why I think people are the way they are. Some people. Maybe all of us at times. 2 Timothy 4:3 says this. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears that they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Is that not today? Jesus Christ, first, foremost, forever. That has to be that way. Boy, I tell you, isn't it amazing, though, people? People who have this power, and I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of money right there. And in today's world, money is power. Just like we talked about the witnesses. It doesn't matter anymore. If you've got enough money that you can buy your way, and this is so sad for the America that we live in. I'm sorry, but it just breaks my heart. If you've got enough money, you can pretty much get out of anything you want. And people with power and money, they're looked upon and praised instead of some old preacher who just tells the truth through the Word of God. And he says this, thus saith the Lord. Not thus saith me, thus saith the Lord. And they want to run him out of town. And folks, it's coming. It's coming to us. It really is. You're seeing the population split. America has been split for some time. But now it's these protesters. You know, I think it was Bruce talking about protesters against Israel. I saw it in Cuba. This little town right up 550, there was a protester with a sign. And I'm thinking, really? When you begin to hate Israel, the world's going to turn on us. Because Christians, true Christians, you pray for Israel. It's God's chosen people. And the world is starting to split that they absolutely despise. And a lot of this, you know, some of the things the Israelis said, and I know I'm getting off topic, let this blood be on ours, on our hands and on our heads and on our children. And a lot of that was self-induced when Christ went to the cross. But you got to pray for those folks in Israel. You got to pray for them. That's the only true ally that we've got in the Middle East. And they don't need us. They've got God. But whatever we do, we need to pray for God's people. You know, we're part of that family. We're adopted into that family. You know, we are. That's part of us. We're adopted in through the blood of Jesus Christ. And, you know, we think that we're doing the right thing with Israel, but folks, if the Lord tarries, it may come a time that the United States of America may turn its back on Israel. If the Lord tarries, I sure hope not. I hope not. But then, that's out of my control. All I can do is, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Question 8. Jesus' question in verse 44 is rhetorical. That is, it is asked to make a statement rather than to get an answer. What point was Jesus making by his question? Give me the praise, give me the money. Sports figures today. I'm going to run out of time. It used to be you turned on a golf match and everybody that was in the PGA was trying to compete. Then they got together and they made the purses so big. You win the golf match that's in Florida this weekend, the Arnold Palmer golf match. The winner wins $4 million. 4 days' work, $4 million. They only play where the money is. You can turn on TV and sometimes you don't see your favorite golfer. You don't see the competition. Football's the same way. Basketball's the same way. Baseball's the same way. Money is associated with power, and power is associated with followers. And we've got our vision all messed up. Instead of following Christ and what he did for us, we're following earthly people. And they're as lost as I was this morning as the softball in left field in the high weeds. I mean, it's awful. Question 9 says, why are belief in Christ and seeking the praise of people at odds with each other? Let me throw this out. We concern ourselves with so many choices. There's only one choice: God and Satan. Where will you stand? Where will you line up behind? The world or God himself? That's the question. Anything that is man's praise is fleeting. Anything that belongs to God is eternal. If you get nothing out of this lesson, believe that. God is eternal. You ever try to cross a fence and straddle a fence, especially electric? The place you do not want to be is riding the fence. Trust me. That's experience. You don't want that. You don't want that. You cannot ride the fence. This is one thing that you cannot do. You're either with God or you're with Satan. Folks, that's what it comes down to. And I'd rather put my horse to the wagon of Jesus Christ. You know? That's where I want to expend my energy. And I've got nothing to give except my love of him and to tell people what he told me to tell people. Seek him. Seek him with all your heart. Seek him with everything you have. Go to him when you're hurting and in trouble. He's God forever. Question 10. If we cannot earn God's favor through our good works, then what does it mean to seek the glory that comes from the only God? Any idea? Any questions or answers? God's righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's it. That's the only thing. God's righteousness through the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that counts. You know, it's great to do good things, but unless you fall upon the lap of Jesus, unless you cry out for Jesus Christ to save you, it's all for naught. I know good people. I really do. I know people who do good things, but they're not believers in Christ, and they're going to suffer the same fate that an evil person who's never trusted Jesus Christ. You first have to trust Jesus Christ and believe he's exactly who he says he is. And then you will begin to grow. And you will do good works. But you don't do the good works for yourself. You do them for the kingdom of God. That's what's important. To love one another. You know, and I think that's where people will truly hurt. Those who truly are not followers through Jesus Christ. To be separated from the Lord God for an eternity. To know without a doubt, I had the same chance and I chose not to do it. And to spend an eternity in the darkness, away, separated from God. That's truly hard. The 11 and 12, I want you to think about those this week. We're not going to go there, but it's more of a self-help thing. It's kind of like, where am I at in my walk? close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. And Lord, thank you for these folks that are here. Lord, we just love this fellowship time. Lord, to ask questions, to just be together. But most of all, Lord, to just thank you for what you did for us. And Father, again, we just pray for the rest of the service. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.